The number one internet shock radio network. Fuck you. Renegade Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome back to RenegadeTalk.fm. Renegade Nation, we love you, baby.
Haven't you heard about the guy known as the cheater?
He'll be doing a press conference very soon.
Friday.
Is it Friday?
And
okay.
He'll mistreat her.
That's right, Tiger Woods is going to talk to everybody.
It seems every day now, you hear people say now, look out for the cheater.
Yeah, RenegadeTalk.fm, where we don't sugarcoat shit. Welcome to the Renegade Nation. My name is Richie Kepler, along with Marky Mark, and Marla happens to be on her way to Monaco. Yes.
I'm tired of her getting all the best things.
She's always flying around, so she's out to Monaco to talk to some very important people about other things that we do. Yeah. Anyway, Tiger Woods to break silence on Friday just came out on the news. We're letting you know right now Tiger Woods intends to end his 3 months of silence, Mark. By apologizing on Friday, the first time he'll be seen in public since that Thanksgiving car crash.
He wants to apologize to who?
To his fans and to us. He needs to apologize. He put us through a lot of stress.
Wow. Look out for the cheetah.
I mean, he stressed me out for 3 months now.
Me? I had fun talking about it for 3 months.
Anyway, his agent basically told the AP that he's going to come out on Friday. And he's going to give a mere 5 minutes, mind you.
Well, that's a big apology.
From the PGA headquarters in Florida. That's right. And he said the event will not be a news conference, suggesting that questions will be limited. Now, you know.
There won't be anything.
Everybody's going to be there. A small group of reporters will be allowed to attend while others can watch. People like us would be watching. They wouldn't allow us in there.
They're not going to ask any questions.
Is Tiger Woods a sex addict? Only if he's lucky. The statement did not say whether Woods' wife, Elin, would be by his side.
I doubt it.
I doubt that. Woods has not been seen in public since November, and it looks like finally Tiger's going to have to come out so he can play golf and make more goddamn money.
He'll start bringing a little more color back to the game.
Yeah, well, you know what? He admitted his transgressions. Allegedly. And December Woods announced he would take an indefinite leave, as we all know. And he's been virtually unseen this winter, leading to speculation about where the golfer is hiding out and what his marriage, what's going to happen with that. This whole thing is absurd, bizarre thing. The Tiger is reduced to a children's story. Where's Waldo? That's what the USA Today sports columnist Christine Brennan told ABC News last month. You're talking about one of the most recognizable people on the planet. No one can find him. Think about it. I mean, we've even said that. Even in the bars when he was hanging out, picking up these girls or whatever he was up to in motels and hotels, whatever the hell he was doing, nobody saw him. I mean, he must have crack security. I think that's what Papa Obama needs, is a crack security team like that, Mark.
Well, he's going to be back out in the public, and guess what? Old habits are hard to stop.
Yeah, well, maybe that's why he went to sex addiction.
And
classes.
The women, yeah, the women miss him.
Maybe the women will come even after more than before.
That's
so it should be very interesting to see what Tiger does. And I think he's going to be at a golf tournament. Did I read somewhere? He's going to be in some golf tournament.
In Florida?
Yeah, in Florida, where they're saying that he is. This is the one that basically the sponsor dropped him.
Right.
It's the same one. I can't recall the name of it. We had it somewhere here, and I can't find it.
It's about time. I missed the white men that are chasing the black man.
Anyway, so...
about time we got him out there running around after Tiger Woods.
Renegade Nation, you'll be happy to learn that Friday you'll be able to see Tiger Woods and see what he has to
and
say.
Think of how many guys now are going to go, hey, can I have your BlackBerry?
Yeah, can I have your BlackBerry? Can I have that black book?
Yeah, I'm sure there's a few numbers in there you haven't answered for a while.
I read on the news somewhere today, too, that the National Enquirer, Mark, is reporting that Elin and Rachel, the first one, really went at it. Had a big fight. So apparently Rachel's still hanging around. And she's working for Extra.
The wife's not there anymore.
I don't know what's going on. Well, I guess we'll find out.
You know, in sex addiction, and if it is a sex addiction,
mm-hmm.
It doesn't walk away.
It doesn't walk away.
It's always with you.
It's always staying with
and
you.
And at church last week, it was a good comment by my pastor. He says, women, take care of your men.
That's right. Take care of your man.
You want to keep them at home? Take care of
them. So you're blaming Elin on this now?
No, I'm blaming God.
Oh, God?
Yeah.
What does God have to fit into
He gave us his appetite.
Oh.
It's his fault.
That's right. That's you're exactly
right. Women don't
have
the appetite. You ever heard of a woman's got a problem?
Nope. Woman never has a problem.
They got a problem.
Yes,
the guy's happy.
Yes, that's where they came out with the sex robot.
That's for the guys, though.
For the guys. No, they got it for the girls, too. They got Rocky. Anyway, so if you want to check that out, you can go to thesexrobot.com. And I didn't even forget the name of it. It's on the website. You can take a look.
Or read your Bible.
Or read the Bible. Anyway, last night, I was watching American Idol, and I know you're not a fan of that. American Idol beat American Idol beat out the Olympics.
Of course.
Nobody wants to watch the Olympics either.
I told you that yesterday.
Yeah, yes, you did. And so last night I was watching it and I was watching it and watching it and watching it. I mean, they just dragged this through the fucking roof. I was like, come on, get it over with. Now, so I'm watching this thinking the same thing. And today, in USA Today, I think, they're saying now...
Somebody else saw it the same way as you.
Yeah, they saw it. Idol tortures everyone as it reveals the top 24. Yeah, the show drug it all
tortured.
Out.
Tortured.
And basically tortured the viewers.
Yeah.
So we were tortured.
Not me.
Yeah, we.
I was watching the History Channel.
Yeah, History Channel. You were watching World War II.
I was.
Yes, I know.
It was about Iwo Jima.
Anyway, the torture comes in many levels, but you have to give a production company, 19 Entertainment, that's the ones that produced that show, credit. It's just not the singers who have to deal with it. The TV audience also has to take the hit as well. And they have no respect to the audience. I mean, if the people that... And when they got to the top 48, whatever it is, the people that were coming in, I thought, were the ones that were going to be selected for the top 24. No. They were bringing them all in. And I'm going, you know, I'm like... they bought the one girl with the... she has a cleft mouth or something. Something's wrong with her mouth. And I thought, okay, they're going to bring her in, and they're going to make her feel good, and she's going to be the top 24. And I thought that's the way it was going to work. The losers would sit in the room.
What about the guy who stuttered? Was he still on?
I don't even know. About
oh, you don't know about the country guy that stuttered?
I don't know. I didn't pay attention to that. But anyway, so they bring the girl with the cleft lip in, right?
Okay.
And she sits there, and she's all upset and nervous, you know, and they told her she wasn't there. So I said to myself, okay, I was wrong on that. So that means they're going to go through all 48 people. Do I have to sit there and look at this and look at their babies and their terrible lives and all their crap and their parents dying? I don't give a flying rat's ass about that.
You could have watched the History Channel with me.
Well, I don't want to watch the History Channel with you.
It's more exciting.
I went up and watched some porno.
Oh, I mean, well, there you go. I don't have it. You took mine.
Anyway, so basically the reporter said the same thing I said, and a lot of other people were thinking the same way. Just why are you dragging this out? Just get to the point.
Sponsorship.
That's exactly
what they drag it out so they can bring in more sponsorship.
Yeah, it's the capitalism, which I don't have a problem with, but, I mean, come on. Enough is enough. I mean, and then they were lying. See, the announcer, whatever his name is, kept on saying, when we come back, we'll know the top 24. When we come back, we'll know the top 24. When we come back, we'll know the top 24. Well, they never did that. They kept
He's just
going,
recycling.
It's just recycling. And he's going on and on and on about the same thing, about the top 24. Well, no, they were going back into the histories of these people and the crying and their babies being born and all this bullshit. And I'm going, I don't really care about it. Either they have talent or they don't. Let's move on. Or I'm turning this off, and I turned it off. So they made a big mistake. 19 Entertainment, if you listen to this show, step it up a little bit.
But they still beat the Olympics.
They still, well, no, you know why?
You know why the Olympics were suffering?
Why is that?
Because they were closed out of the snow again from global warming.
Global warming, I don't
want to
begin
right. That. It was snowing. It was foggy. They couldn't ski.
Yeah, they can't do a lot of things there. They
but
even said
they did curling.
You know what they did?
Curling
curling is really fun. I enjoy that sport immensely, Mark. That
anytime
is one
I
of the
throw
most...
my rocks on the ice.
Yep. Yep. One of the
and
things.
They get that stick.
What? I don't even get that. What do? They just rub that stick to make the ice smoother.
Warm. The friction makes it watery.
Oh, is that what? So it slides faster. Yeah. Okay. Well, one of the things that really got me was they had the speed skating. You know, when the guys and the girls go around the ice track.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they have a problem. They bought in this green machine to clean up the ice, and it broke down. So they had these three green machines, not the Zamboni. Remember the Zamboni in the old days?
Yeah, what's wrong with the Zamboni?
Well, they wanted to go green. So instead of spewing out
pollutants
into the
carbon print
into the stadium, they decided to go green. Well, the machines didn't work, and they couldn't pick up the ice, so they were doing it by hand.
No way.
Yeah, and they had to bring a Zamboni in.
So they
were waiting for the Zamboni to get there because the ice was all screwed up, and the ice skaters couldn't figure, you know, the figure skating and the ice racing and all this other stuff, anything to do with ice, was all fucked up.
I love it.
It's just
go green, baby.
Go green. Anyway, you listen to RenegadeTalk.fm, where we don't sugarcoat shit. Welcome, Renegade Nation. My name is Richie Kepler, along with Marky Mark. And Marla happens to be out of the country, and she'll be returning to us, I think, probably tomorrow by telephone or Thursday. What's today? Wednesday. She'll be returning Thursday or Friday. So anyway, we got to take a break, and we'll be right back after this.
Looking for a verbal hand job?
Yes, yes, yes.
Release your frustrations and listen to Blunt Talk on Renegade Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the show, RenegadeTalk.fm. Hey, forgot to tell you, Mark, King Tut, I always say King Tut was murdered. He died of malaria.
Oh, he was such a young, good boy.
And he had a club foot from an incestuous marriage. That means his brother and sister were fucking.
Ooh.
That's, he came out and he died at 19, yeah. Pretty cool. Hey, they learned that through DNA testing. Isn't that cool? King Tut. Mommy and daddy were brother and sister. Go, brother. That's what the queens and the kings did back in the day. Now we have polygamy here.
They're keeping it all in the family.
Keep it all in the family, dudes. Here we go. Oh, yeah, we had to bring up that King Tut thing. That's really funny.
Well, they thought they were gods. They can get away with anything they wanted.
Well,
to.
Yeah, they always went to the gods, but the gods, they all died. And then when the gods said they cursed King Tut, and everybody made a big stink out of King Tut, and they thought he was murdered, and he wasn't. He died from malaria. That's what the DNA testing is showing. From the bones,
I thought it was from a broken foot and he got infected.
Whatever, one or the other. Yeah, he could have got.
They didn't have a good doctor.
They didn't have a good doctor. The gods weren't there then.
That's right.
And the brother and sister were banging each other. That's how King Tut came about.
I can see where the South got their ways.
So, Renegade Nation, we just wanted you to know that King Tut was not murdered. He died of malaria, and he died of some poisoning or whatever they did to him, and they just found that out. If you want to find out more, just type in King Tut into Google, and you'll be up to date with your history. Everything we were taught is wrong.
Just like we said, the History Channel rules here.
History Channel rules. Anyway, talking about people taking money. And
money.
And the stimulus package and the stimulus anniversary celebrated. It's mocked in words and everybody's pissed off. The Tea Party's pissed off. Everybody doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah, everybody out there feels the stimulus working in their lives.
It's not working over here.
Well,
that's for sure.
You just don't see the benefits.
Anyway, what you need to do, Mark, is you need to become a mediocre stockbroker. That's what you need to do. This guy duped Wall Street titan Merrill Lynch into believing he was a portfolio powerhouse, deserving a $780,000 loan. That's his stimulus package. The first day on the job, Mark, he got $780,000, and then he used all that money to buy a Ferrari.
Does this happen in New York?
Yeah, happened in New York.
A lot of people in New York are always kind.
It always seems in New York, isn't
it? Yeah, New York.
Yeah, this guy, Stephen Mandela, 29, surrendered to face indictment of grand larceny, money laundering, identity theft, I'm sorry, and other crimes in the scheme. I didn't even know he got arrested, said the suspect's mother. Oh, she didn't know. Well, he didn't tell you anything else either.
Well, he wasn't late for dinner. She wasn't worried.
Yeah, his stock is low. This guy was led into court on charges that he faked his way in to the Merrill Lynch job.
No. He didn't. Yeah, you don't fake your way
in. How do you do that?
You don't.
Okay, so somebody lied internally.
No, just basically he walks in there and tells somebody a story, and the guy believes him and says you're hired.
Never checked him out.
Yeah, it's so typical.
Basically, he worked as a broker for a company called Maxim Group from 2004 until early 2009. And then what he did was he decided to go into Merrill Lynch. Now, they say he earned about $100,000 annually at this Maxim place last year. He applied for a job at Merrill Lynch, and he falsely claimed that he was a partner of Maxim. Mm-hmm. So why wouldn't Merrill Lynch know about that?
They all know each other. He probably said that I work as a partner.
Yeah, he could have said that.
Yeah.
The interpretation.
That they're ready to give me a partnership.
Right.
Because everybody's always talking about bragging about themselves, making themselves sound better than they really are.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously he did quite the job because he got hired.
He's a good salesman. He also said he managed $300 million in client assets and earned $765,000 in compensation against $1.5 million in revenue that he generated. So
He was doing his job.
Mandela produced a fake pay stub tax forms to substantiate his bogus claims about his Maxim work. How come Merrill Lynch just didn't call Maxim and say, hey, we're going to hire this guy? Is this all true?
I don't think he made it up.
Merrill hired him on the spot April 24th. On the same day, Merrill loaned him. Now, get this. On the same day that he was hired, I have never, ever, I mean, I'm going to have to
he
do this.
He must be damn good looking.
He must have something going on. They gave him $780,000 as an incentive. For what?
He's got deep brown eyes.
An amount that would have been forgiven on a prorated basis if he stayed there for 8 years. Wow. I'm in the wrong business.
Yeah, I think Obama needs this guy.
We need to go get jobs at Merrill Lynch and bullshit our way in.
Now, obviously, this guy makes money grow, so Obama should hire this guy.
That's right. After depositing all the money into his parents' bank account, he's hidden the money. So what did he say to mommy and daddy when all that money went in there?
They probably didn't even know.
Yeah.
You can get the account, just put money in their account.
Yeah, okay. And then he basically put the money in there. Parents, I guess, didn't know about it because they're stupid.
It's the same way that my wife and I deal with our money. You know, she gets the money, the little bit that I give her. I don't look in the account and see what the hell's going on.
You give her $20 a week. That's all you give her.
No, I upped it to $22.
Oh, $22.
She was very happy. $8 more a month.
Keep her happy.
Gets another latte.
You keep her happy, you get more sex. Anyway, no. Mandela, this guy now goes wild. He goes hog wild. A week later, he withdrew $245,000 to buy a red
car,
2006 Ferrari, in the name of his dad.
Aw, he was going to surprise his daddy with a gift.
Oh, you tell me daddy and mommy didn't know about this. Come on.
Daddy's blind.
No. Over the next 2 months, he frequently, did not show up at his new job.
But so, why would he have to? With that kind of money he's drawing in, he could do it over his phone while he's in the bathtub.
He was sick. Yeah, he was.
Well, he gets sick pay.
Yeah, he was.
That's the kind of job I want. Sick pay.
That's the kind of job. Yeah. So over the next couple months, he didn't show up. He only bought in two or three clients with assets of about $20,000.
Oh, that was about it. Doesn't sound too good now.
So on June 29th, he resigned via email, and he asked Merrill Lynch to throw out his personal effects.
Oh, he didn't. I guess he didn't have a picture of mommy and daddy
so
in his Ferrari.
He's telling his employer, "Hey, fuck you, I quit.
But thank you for the money.
Thank you for the money. Throw out all my shit."
I wonder if that guy still has a job who hired him.
Okay, among this personal effects were credit cards obtained in the name of Carlos Gomez. That's the dad of Mandela's girlfriend, which the broker had allegedly used to rack up tens of thousands of debt. Oh, he's finished.
This is a nice guy.
This guy is really fucked up. Anyway, his lawyer said Gomez's idea had been stolen by his daughter, who had a bone to pick with her own father.
Oh man, what a mess.
Merrill Lynch, the executives, start checking people out, please.
This all makes sense. Think about how our economy is working right now.
That's exactly right.
So the way they're working, inside and outside.
All inside jobs.
It all makes sense.
Anyway, Mark, I just want to say thank you very much, and I'm very happy that today is the stimulus anniversary celebration.
I feel it, too. I could feel it in my bones.
The one-year anniversary of the $862 billion economic stimulus legislation that was signed into law that provided the Democrats and the Republicans with an endless source of claims and counterclaims today that all amount to...
a hill of beans.
Bullshit.
Hill of beans, boys.
Hill of beans, boy.
That's right.
Anyway, the House Majority Leader, basically, Steny Hoyer, has emailed three press releases so far today, Mark, touting the success of the stimulus. I don't see any success of anything.
Okay. If there's any success, a story that we have missed, you email us.
Yeah, you email us and tell us because the banks aren't loaning out any money.
Yeah.
I know somebody personally who's trying to get some money right now. It takes 3 to 4 months to get a goddamn bank loan.
Yeah.
So how is that helping the American people? And plus, the unemployment rate has gone skyrocketing up to, what, 10% or something?
Well, it's way above that.
Is it way above that? And they're saying that now it's at 8%. So now they're throwing all this shit at us, and we don't know what to believe, that the stimulus did this or the stimulus did that. What do you think, Mark?
If I borrow $800 billion and I only spent a third of it, why would I go borrow more money if I haven't used everything that I got originally?
I think you should be involved with the Tea Party people.
Tea Party. I love my green tea.
Tea Party, yes.
But you think about it. Bush came out with his stimulus package.
That's right.
Then Obama did his,
right.
And now he's going to do another one. So he had three in, what, a year and a half?
Three in a year and a half.
And I feel the difference.
I feel the difference, Mark. I feel good about myself. I feel that I'm helping the people of the United States. Yeah, everybody forgets about the Bush stimulus.
That was just before Obama.
Nobody brings that shit up. Anyway, in the words and images, the parties are sparring over the stimulus. They're always fighting. Nobody gets along with anybody. That's the problem. Anyway, a group of conservatives is unveiling a statement of principles called the Constitutional Conservatism on Wednesday. That's today, by the way, Mark. That reaffirms their belief in limited government and strong national defense, but also chides members of their own coalition for straying from their beliefs. So now we're talking about the conservatives versus the liberals.
They're more libertarian, that's why.
It's a manifesto to jumpstart the resurgence. Now, last night on TV,
yes.
The Tea Party people,
yes.
It's getting crazy.
No, it's not.
I think there's... No, no.
It's not getting crazy.
I'm saying that in a positive. I think that there's something's going to happen.
It is already.
Look at the
three elections that have changed in
Massachusetts,
New Jersey, and...
it's already happening.
Bingo.
So now each one of the founding ideas is presently under sustained attack. In recent decades, America's principles have been undermined and redefined in our culture, our universities, and our politics. Now, I've always blamed the universities for this. The way that kids are taught and brainwashed, and then they come out and they start to change everything to this liberalism... that we're going to save everybody and give money to anybody who wants it.
But again, liberalism isn't as bad as progressive.
Oh, that's the new thing.
That's right.
Yeah,
the progressive way of life is different from liberal. I don't mind people being a little liberal, mm-hmm. little social, you know, economics here and there.
Yeah, okay, that's
But
cool.
the progressive movement is what's killing us, both on the Republican and Democrat side.
The federal government today ignores the limits of the Constitution, which is increasingly dismissed as obsolete and irrelevant.
It has holes in it.
Yeah, it has holes in it. Well, no, it's the founding fathers, and we have to abide by the Constitution.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do.
Mr. Papa Obama can just do a,
well,
boom, it's called presidential,
and
it does.
Anyway, this group met near the George Washington's house. Was that the first president?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Georgie.
I hope that its Mount Vernon statement would help focus the movement on core ideas at the moment that Republicans are hoping that a backlash against the Democrats might be paving the way for a conservative resurgence. Well, you know what? You got a lot of people that are explaining things like Fox News, Glenn Beck, a lot of other people that are yelling and screaming that we are getting away from our core value and that the country is being dissected by these progressives.
Progressives.
And it's moving toward a mess. And when you can't get money and the economy's down, and who is controlling the money? We've talked about this before on Renegade. And it just continues on with this mess that we're in, and nobody can figure out if they're going to lose their job or keep their jobs, their houses. We talked about shadow foreclosures.
That's right.
That's part of this mess that nobody talks about.
And we have the commercial foreclosures about to show up.
Now, a shadow foreclosure, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know Renegade Nation, a shadow foreclosure is when somebody goes into foreclosure, and then what happens is the bank doesn't report that it's going into foreclosure. The only time they report it is when they actually do the deed, which is force you out of the house and take the house over.
That's right.
That's when they report it, but they don't tell you how many shadow foreclosures are going on in the U.S. So we don't know what's really going on. Nobody's telling us anything.
So it's not on the books.
And it's not on the books. That's exactly right. Now, basically, what's going on, these conservatives oppose Democratic President Barack Obama's expansion of the federal government. The call for constitutional conservatism also is an alternative to Bush's compassionate conservatism. So we have all these what does compassionate mean? Where's the fucking money? That's what it is. Who's controlling who? I think we're coming into control. They're going to control how we live. That's what this is all about. And
absolutely,
the Tea Party people are coming back and saying, "No, you're not.
No, you're not.
No, you're not.
Protect our borders, protect the Constitution, and let the states deal with us on an individual basis."
That's exactly right.
Government is way too busy.
Way too busy to be messing around. Anyway, so basically, they are trying to. It appears to step back from a fiery anti-government talk heard in some wings of the Tea Party movement. The conservatism of the Constitution limits the government's powers, but ensures that government performs its job effectively. That's what it's supposed to be. Right. And that's why we have elections, to put people there to speak for the people. Is that right?
Well, that's what the problem is, because people are in there for the last 20, 30 years. They lose touch with the people that they're representing.
Right.
And it's just a full-time job, which was never meant to be that way from the beginning.
And then when they get out, like you've been complaining about, they get these...
Fantastic retirement programs,
yes.
So why would they run for office again and spend
bother?
All that money, keep it in their own coffer?
Yeah, that's exactly what
they do. And then they get hired on by special interests.
So we're going to be talking about this more and more into the Renegade, because some people on the blogs and on YouTube have been saying we should be talking about more political type of things that reinforce their ideas, instead of picking on John Mayer. And we had an email the other day that said that we were morons, that we never listened to John Mayer music or could care less about it. He was a great musician. No, let me tell you something, dude. I don't really care about John Mayer and his music, okay? Don't care. I mean, there's a lot of other better music than John Mayer. And for a moron like him to start spiffing off on Playboy about the N-word and his white supremacist cock is totally asinine, ridiculous. And for him to do that, he's totally immature. What do you think, Mark?
Hallelujah, brother.
Hallelujah. We're out of here. Hey, listen to Renegade Talk tomorrow. We'll be on with more inspirational talk radio that you need to know, Renegade Nation. And we'll catch you tomorrow.
Non-stop shock radio. Renegade Talk Radio. Get an early start on ammunition to rip that asshole that'll be messing with you later.